Moncrief on News Talk.
Last year, wind farms provided around 35% of our electricity usage on this island. But whenever it's proposed to build turbines on land or indeed at sea, there are invariably objections. Many reasons can be put forward, but one of the main ones is that they're ugly. But isn't that a subjective argument? In today's Irish Times, the climate researcher Sive O'Neill argues that they are, in fact, beautiful. Sive, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
In terms of people objecting to individual turbines or wind farms in general, from your point of view, do you think there's possibly a difference in the legitimacy of their objections if it's on land, if it's like beside their house, as to if it's on the horizon at sea?
Well, I think that the problem I have is that environmental objections around the impacts on birds, wildlife, wetlands and bogs and so on, or the marine environment, are conflated with visual impact. Now, visual impact is quite different because it's not really an environmental impact in the sense that visual impacts don't do environmental damage, but they bother people in other ways. And it really interested me that some people object to the very look of wind turbines, whereas I think they're beautiful. So I explored this, trying to understand better why I like them and why other people don't. And I think that the way that visual impacts are lumped in with environmental objections distorts the debate, actually, distorts the debate about whether these things are good or not.
Yeah, because just if there's a community and there's a wind turbine or a wind farm going to be constructed nearby to them, there's many potential objections they could have, not just necessarily environmental ones. They can have health concerns and noise and all that kind of thing. Whereas if it's, you know, if it's out at sea 12 miles away, really your only objection is, well, perhaps an effect upon sea life, but largely it'll be, I don't like the look of that.
Yes. I mean, I'm not dismissing environmental issues at all. There are environmental impacts associated with both onshore and offshore wind turbines. But by and large, these have been looked at in general in terms of the life cycle analysis of wind technology, and also the environmental impact assessment process requires all those to be looked at. Visual impact is different because it's quite subjective. And yet at the same time, if you look at the websites of a lot of the coastal groups that are objecting to offshore wind, it's the coastal and visual impact that bothers people the most. That's what excites people more than the impacts on the marine environment. And this is from their own websites. Mm. The primary objection is the fact that these will be visible in the seascape. And it speaks to a notion that people have that anything that intrudes on their landscape or their seascape or their view is automatically objectionable. But is that realistic? We're going to have a lot more onshore and offshore wind. We are going to start seeing energy infrastructure popping up all around us in rural places, wild places. And obviously, if there are environmental harms, these either need to be mitigated or the projects need to go somewhere else. I'm not dismissing the environmental issues at all. I'm an environmentalist. But visual impact is not the same thing. I don't think that they should be determining the way that we roll out energy infrastructure. I think we're going to have to start looking at this stuff because for too long we have had energy that comes to us at the flick of a switch, at the fuel pumps or delivered to our homes, and we don't think about where it's coming from. And the visual impacts of refining, extraction, distribution, transportation, and all of the spills and the ecological damage is invisible to us. So the fact that we can see renewable energy infrastructure is actually a good thing because it's clean, it's replenished by nature, by the wind, by the sun. There are some environmental impacts, but these are not significant most of the time. They're not major impacts. Mm-hmm. And I just think we need to sort of shift our mindset and think about a landscape that has renewable energy in it everywhere and see that as a benign technology and not something that's harmful to us.
Mm. Well, I suppose people are under the law, people are entitled to object when planning permissions are requested. At the same time, it's striking every time, it seems now, an application is put in to build a turbine or a wind farm, people object to it. It seems to be par for the course now almost to the like the wind turbines are getting a very bad press for some reason, Saif.
They do, and this has bothered me for a long time. I don't understand it. There are some sites close to me where wind farms have been, you know, proposed on Cuilte sites that are, they're not wild areas by any means, and they're perfectly good sites. And also, of course, in the coastal environment close to where I live. And I just don't understand it. I think we should be welcoming them. And the truth of the matter is that there is a lot of latent support for wind farms and technology, but people don't want to speak out against their vocal neighbours who are objecting it. And in fact, all the surveys that academics have done, the SEAI and the EPA, show that people in Ireland are really very warm to renewable energy. And yes, there is a gap when it comes locally to people. They sometimes object to it. But by and large, that fades away once the turbines are actually built and people get used to them in the landscape.
So is it just NIMBYism then? Everyone's in favour as long as it's not in their back garden.
I'm inclined to agree with you, but I think NIMBYism needs to be unpacked a little so we can get an understanding of what people's real problem is. And if people are objecting to the visual impact, we need to try and understand that and maybe have a more of a dialogue during the development process about the visual impacts and about different ways of seeing things in the landscape and understanding why we have this visceral reaction if we do, and giving people who like them a chance to speak up in favour of them.
Mm. But at the same time, people, I assume, know why wind turbines are being built around Ireland. They know about the environmental concerns about this and the urgency of switching over to renewables, yet they still object to them.
Yes, and, I don't want to fall into the trap of dismissing people as ignorant, but there is a lot of debate in the academic community about something called ecological literacy. And it speaks to, I suppose, a wider and deeper understanding of our material environment and our energy systems than just what we can see, because what we can see doesn't always tell the full story. You know, we can see an electricity wire coming into our house, but that doesn't tell the full story about fossil fuels and the way they're powering our economy and doing so much damage to the atmosphere and to our health. So people think that that energy is clean and safe, whereas wind turbines are damaging their health. And not only is that factually incorrect, it's very difficult to disprove it because people
there have been cases where they've been settled out of court, but there have been cases where people have gone to court alleging a whole raft of health concerns. Now, this is when a wind turbine is close to their home, obviously not when it's out at sea or anything.
Yeah, I would be sceptical about that, frankly, Sean, because all of the surveys and research that's been done over many years now, all over the world, this technology is not new. It's been around since the 70s. Frankly, debunks all of that. I don't know about that individual case. People may have underlying health issues and God knows what. People get anxious about all sorts of things that are going on, whether or not these are based in fact. So it's very important that we separate out what's real from what's not, you know, and fears can be dispelled if people have access to authoritative information from sources that they trust. But unfortunately, the sources that people trust, scientists are often reluctant to get involved in these debates because they see them as a bit pointless, a bit of a waste of their time, you know.
So that leaves a gap, though, then for other sources of information that mightn't be as rigorously researched then.
Well, you said it. I mean, a lot of people are getting information now from social media, which, of course, does not regulate, you know, claims. It doesn't fact check a lot of stuff. And, you know, there's conspiracy theories all over Twitter, Facebook, and all the other sites. So it's just impossible to dispel them. I mean, nobody has time to, you know, enter into those kind of lengthy debates with people who kind of refuse to accept anything that you're saying. You're in these kind of culture wars and it's pointless. It's a waste of time. Mm. So the best advice that the academic research says is to kind of inoculate people in advance. So young people in school should be given the opportunity to visit renewable energy sites and learn about energy as part of their education. You know, this is a huge change that we're going to be making. And it requires a level of understanding and buy-in from the public that we don't really have at the moment. And also there is an issue about people experiencing the benefits of the technology directly in terms of lower prices, you know, dispelling all the myths that this is just an industrial corporate strategy that isn't going to deliver any benefits to people. So we have to address all of these points and head on.
Sive O'Neill is an independent climate and environmental researcher. Sive, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.